And I asked him to do that today. They performed that in front of the entire school district a few months ago for Black History Month and did an amazing job. Come on, give it up to them one more time. So proud of them, so proud of them, so proud of them. Shauna is doing an amazing job with leading them. She started off in Genesis. She matriculated up to restored worship, and now she's leading them. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for her as well. Amen. What a blessing it is, an honor and a privilege it is to be in the house of God one more time. Many folks did not see this day, but thank God that you and I are in the land of the living. Last night could have been our last night, but through God's grace, through his mercy, as the old saints would say, he woke us up this morning in our right minds. We had a reasonable portion of health, and here we are, saints of God. And I pray for the day that the Spirit of God will come in this place in such a way that we won't be able to do nothing but to think about the blessings of God. And when we think about the blessings of God, it will flow through our mouths. It will flow through our actions. Folks will have to tell us to sit down, but we won't be able to contain it. We won't be able, Sister Marsha, to sit down because we will think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. And here it is, not just all that he has done for us, but all the stuff he done kept from us. And we will open up our mouths and give God a great praise every day that we have the opportunity to be able to thank God for what he has done. We should not rob ourselves or rob God of giving him that praise and giving him that glory and giving him that honor that is due his name. And I like it so much. He said, hey, if you don't want to say nothing, I'm not going to make you say anything. In fact, I will touch nature and I will allow for a rock to be able to cry out for me. But here it is, saints of God. God has done too much for Christopher Earl Swims and me and mine. I don't need a rock. I don't need a goat. I don't need a cloud. I don't need a river. I can testify for myself about the goodness of Jesus. And when I come together with the saints of God, I need some backup and folks that can say, Pastor, you're not the only one. God has been good to me. God has made a way for me. God has opened up doors for me. God has kept me from danger seen and unseen. He kept my mind. He kept my body. He kept my family. And for that, I'm going to give him praise. Oh, I pray today I sound like Ned Flanders. I pray today that when we come to church, that we can be able to really have a time and rejoice and be glad and celebrate what God has done. You don't have to be pushed, don't have to be primed. Doesn't matter what song is being sang. All we have to do is think of the goodness of Jesus and go crazy. All I have to do is think about God's goodness to me and mine, and I lose it. All I have to do is think about what he's done, and I lose it. And think about what he saved me from. Think about the future that he has for me, and I lose it based off of that. I pray today. That no matter what he does or does not do, that's just based off of who he is, I can praise him off of that. For being a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. For being a God that keeps his promises. I pray today that no one has to push us or prime us to praise him. But all I do is reflect. Don't you realize Covenant School could have been CMS? Could have been Thomas? Could have been Lewis? Could have been Parrish? Could have been the high school? You missed your moment. I said, don't you realize that school could have been Covenant? Could have been Carbondale? Could have been Southern Illinois? You still missed it. Don't you realize that could have been your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your child? You still missed it. Don't you realize that could have been your niece, your nephew? Okay, you're starting to get it a little bit. I said, don't you realize that could have been someone that we knew? Don't you realize that could have been you on your job? But by the grace and mercy of God. Walter Hawkins said it this way, he did not see fit to let it be. So because of that, I say thank you, Lord. And because of that, I say thank you, Lord. And because of that, I say thank you, Lord. And because of that, I say thank you, Lord. And because of that, I say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Come on, to clap those hands and give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Stand with me with your Bibles. And journey with me to John chapter 19. I pray today. I pray today. And praise will always be on our lips. That it won't take much to get us to thank him. John 19, starting at verse 28. Jesus said, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, or some versions may say fulfilled. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked the sponge in it and put it on the hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Other versions say that when he had tasted it, he said it with a loud voice. It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23:46. He musters up enough strength again with spikes in his legs and in his feet and spikes in his hands. Every breath that he takes, it takes away from him living. He shouts again and says, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. Thank you, Lord. And with those words, he breathed his last breath. Father, we thank you. And we appreciate the sacrifice of your son. He could have came down off that tree. But he stayed to fulfill scriptures. So that we could be able to have the right to eternal and everlasting life. He could have came down and saved himself, but he stayed. Piercing his side, spikes in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head, unrecognizable to his mother and his disciples, but he stayed. Being abandoned by his father, having taken on the sins of humanity, he stayed so that scripture could be fulfilled. Yes, sir. And that we could have the right to everlasting life. Thank you, Oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, what love. Someone asked the question, who killed Jesus? Nobody. No one took his life, but he gave it. As our substitute, taking on the death that we so rightfully deserved. He who knew no sin became sin that we may become the righteousness in right standing with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. And God's people said, amen. If you haven't already, greet your neighbor, say something to him, give him a fist bump. If you feel comfortable, give him a hug. Hallelujah. 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 We've been on a journey the past few weeks looking at the last words of Jesus. And I hope and pray that as we've been going through this and looking at the scriptures and seeing how to be able to apply it to our lives, I hope that you've walked away with a greater appreciation of the love of Jesus. I hope you've walked away with a greater picture of what our Savior, our Master, our Lord had to endure for our salvation. I hope and pray that you can walk away with a great picture and a great appreciation of recognizing the fact of what he had to endure for our freedom. I hope you walk away with an appreciation and recognizing the fact of what we no longer have to do anymore. We don't have to raise goats and chickens and lambs to be able to go to sacrifice on our behalf for our sins. We don't have to go to the priest and the priest go on our behalf to ask for forgiveness. But when the curtain has been ripped, now we have direct access to the Savior. I hope you walk away in recognizing that yes, Resurrection Sunday is a great day. It's a powerful day. But I hope and pray that you walk away with recognizing all the hell he went through all week leading up to Sunday. Scripture says that when he had mustered up enough strength to say the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That it was pitch black dark. Early in the day, it's dark. It represented the pain, the suffering that our Savior was experiencing. And recognize the internal pain that he's experiencing, having to be separated from his Father. You got to understand that he had been created and made to be able to walk in unbroken fellowship with his Father, but now for the first time ever in his life, that relationship is turned. His Father turns his back on him. He said, My God, now wait a minute, Swims. Didn't you say he already knew the mission of his life and his birth and why he was to be here and what he had to go through? Absolutely. But in that moment when you see your Father turn his back, it hurts. He says, why have you forsaken me? But then the prophet Isaiah goes on to say that it pleased God to bruise his Son. Why? Because once and for all now, there was a sinless sacrifice that could be able to eradicate sin. Once and for all. There's something to be said about a person who speaks and shares wisdom when they're sick. There's something to be said about a person that musters up enough strength to be able to share wisdom when they're suffering. But it's something else when a person musters up enough strength to share wisdom while they're dying. That he stops dying seven times to speak to us. John says he knew that his mission was now fulfilled, was now accomplished, was now finished. He tasted the wine for the last time. He raised his voice with a loud shout and said, "It is finished." Then he bowed up his head and gave up his spirit. The law showed us the depth of our debt of sin. But the cross gives us closure to the debt that we created with our sin. Let me say that again. The law showed us the depth of our debt of sin, but the cross gives us closure to the debt that we created with our sin. Those words, "it is finished," are the same words of the young man that's getting ready to propose to his girlfriend, and she says yes. Those words, "it is finished," are the same words that we aspire to hear when we go and make the last payment on our car or on our house or our student loans, and it says it's paid in full. "It is finished" are the same words that we love to hear when we go to the doctor and they say, "You're cancer free." It brings closure to a thing that we had been experiencing. Jesus saying, "It is finished," gives us closure to the debt that you and I have created with our sins. Now, don't miss what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Here it is, saints of God. The cross did not happen so that we could keep playing games with our sins, but so that we no longer have to live under its control. Now, we have to realize Jesus says that it is finished. He has taken away the control and the power of sin, but we still have the influence of sin. We still have the influence of sin. That Paul said it best. Paul said, "When I want to do right," he said, "evil is always present." Paul says, "When I want to do the right thing, when I want to behave the right way, when I want to say the right thing, when I want to be godly, when I want to be holy," he says, "evil is always present." But the good news is this, saints of God, that now we have Holy Spirit living down on the inside of us that we can trust and rely and depend on to help us not to allow the influence of sin to take over our lives, because "it is finished" now takes away the control of sin. But we have to be careful. We have to be mindful now that it's been paid in full, now that it's been taken care of, that we don't play games with our sins. Oh, what a slap in the face of the Savior for him to have gone through so much and taken on so much to be able to give us the right to eternal and everlasting life. But we continue to play the games of sin. Oh, what a slap it is to the cross for us to not act like we don't have freedom, to not act like we don't have liberty, to not act like that someone did not pay a high price for us to be able to be free. And we still dabble in sin. What a slap in the face to the cross for us to allow the lust of our flesh, to allow sin to have more power in our lives. What a slap in the face to the cross for us to continue in our sin. When the price has been paid in full. The cross didn't happen so that we could keep playing with sin. But so that we can no longer live under its control. And that's what it is, saints of God. We have to be so mindful. The enemy knows what we like. The enemy knows what would take us there. The enemy knows what our appetites may be. But here it is, saints of God. You and I have to continue to depend upon the cross and to continue to believe on the finished work of cross and what he has done on the cross for us, that it seals the deal. And we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us so that we no longer fall under the control of the sin. We have to sacrifice, we have to yield, we have to surrender, because here it is, he takes away the control of sin and we still have the influence of sin right here in our lives. And here it is, saints of God, this is not something that we can fight on our own. It's not something that we can tackle by ourselves. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to do what the scripture says, that we have to die daily to our flesh. We have to surrender on a daily, continual basis our flesh to the Lord and say, Father, not my will, not what I want, not what I desire, but what you desire and what you want for my life. Because the price has been paid in full. The control has been taken away. It's not a moment for us to dabble and to play games with our sins. Here it is, and he gets to Luke's gospel, verse 36. Jesus says, the soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of wine. Wait a minute, that's not the verse. Lord, help me. Yes, it is. Wait a minute. 46, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, saints. Whoever yelled that out to me, I appreciate you. Luke 23:46, then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last breath. Man, now, this blows my mind because the language changes as he's talking. It was just a few words earlier that he referred to his father as God. But now there's been a shift in his words that he goes back to calling him Father. In that moment where he called him God, he felt abandoned. But in the moment where he trusts him, he steps back into being a son. And as a son, he comes to his father and he said, Father, I realize and recognize the fact that I have done everything that you have called for me to do. I have handled my assignment well. I have completed my task. I have completed my mission. And he comes back to him as a son. Here it is, thanks to God, because listen, the truth of the matter is this, that when we feel forsaken by God, when we feel abandoned by God, we don't see him as Father.
I wish I had a church this morning. We see him as just God, because hey, if you were my father, you would not have forsaken me. If you were my father, you would not have abandoned me. If you were my father, you would not have walked away. But after he realizes what he had to do, he steps back into the role of a son and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. With those words, he breathed his last breath. Here's what we can be able to take away from this morning, saints. Most people love the idea of Jesus saving us. But are we willing to allow him to be Lord over our lives? Are we willing to place the trust of our lives in his hands? Oh, I've been rushing to get to this right here. Most people love the idea. We love the idea of him being our kinsman redeemer. We love the idea of him being our savior. We love the idea that he sacrificed for my liberties. We love the idea that he could have come down, but he didn't. He stayed there so that I could be able to have the right to everlasting love and everlasting life. We love the idea that he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of God. We love the idea of that, and that is good. That is great. That is shout worthy. But here it is, saints. After he's been our savior, are you willing to allow him to be your Lord? So in other words, are you a fan or are you a follower? If I'm a fan of Jesus, I'm only in this thing for salvation. But if I am a follower of Jesus, I am committing every aspect of my life to him. I'm allowing him to have control and access of my life. I'm allowing him to be the Lord of my life. Think about that for a second. Are you a fan? Or are you a follower? Are you coming just for the goodies? Are you coming just for the blessings? Or does he have direct access to be able to come into your life and to come into your heart, to prick your heart and say, hey, I know you struggle with forgiveness, but I need you to forgive. I know you don't really like them, but I need you to pray for them. I know they've done you wrong, but I need you to serve him. Is he just your savior? Or is he your Lord? Because to accept him in salvation is just part one. The sacrifice that has been paid, yes, sealed the deal for you to be able to have the right to everlasting life, but it's also for you to give him access to be Lord in your life. Here's what I love about Jesus. He's such the perfect gentleman. He's not going to push. He's not going to pry, and he's not going to push himself on anybody, but he leaves the door open. He leaves the opportunity open for us to ask him to come into our lives and to give him full control. We got the Savior part down right. But when it comes to him being Lord, Pastor, I don't know. I'll allow him to be Lord over my money, but can he be the Lord over your words? Can he be Lord over your words? Oh, it's a popular thing now where preachers are going around, they're trying to be relevant and be trending, and they're cursing in the pulpit. Can he be Lord over your words? My God. All right, I give him lordship over my words. Can he be Lord over your body language? My God. Come on, son. Can he be Lord over my behaviors? Can I give him lordship over my pettiness, because you can't live holy and be petty at the same time? Can I give him lordship? Over every area. area of my life. God, I give you my words, but can he have lordship over your body? Oh, Pastor, I'm not here sleeping with nobody, but you're pleasuring yourself. Can he have lordship over your life? He did not just come to save you to get to heaven, but he came to have lordship over your life while you're here on earth. Once we get to heaven, we will be glorified, but once we're here on earth, we need to stay on the potter's wheel. And it happens through lordship. I know I done made some saints mad, including myself. I'm right there with you, y'all. Does he have lordship over your money? Does he have lordship over what you view online? Does he have lordship on what you allow yourself to listen to and entertain? When you hear something about another saint that you know that's not right, do you shut it down? Or do you all of a sudden become passive and reserved? He's Savior. You got your one-way ticket to heaven, but is he Lord in your life to help you manage living here on earth? Are we willing to place the trust of our lives in his hands? Into your hands, Father, I commit my marriage. Into your hands, Father, I commit my marriage. Why? Because I realize yes, two become one, but it can become a struggle at times. Every married couple should have been clapping. And I have to trust my marriage to God. I have to put my marriage in the hands of God. Into your hands, Father, I commit my children. Because yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here it is, saints of God. No matter how much you plead the blood of Jesus over your kids, no matter how much you pray over your kids, Sister Baker, no matter how many scriptures you prayed them, no matter how many times you have rubbed them down with oil while they're sleeping, no matter how many bottles of oil you have poured over them while they're sleeping, they're going to do something that will not be pleasing in your eyes. Something will happen that will be beyond your control to intervene, to help them. So you have to say, so that you can be able to sleep well tonight, into your hands, Father. I give you my kids. Their mistakes, their failures, their mess ups. I commit my children into your hands. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same. Into your hands, Father, I commit my kids. No matter how much you fuss, no matter how much you counsel, no matter how much you talk, Father, into your hands I commit my children. Because in my hands I may lay hands. So into your hands I commit. And every parent should have been clapping. Into your hands I commit. Your children may be with you. Clap anyway. And into your hands, Father, I commit my children. Are we willing to place the trust of our entire lives in his hands? Can I give him my singleness and trust and believe God? Doesn't matter what's going on around me, seeing others around me. God, I trust you with my sin, that I don't have to negotiate. I don't have to do this or do that. God, I trust you with my singleness, that at the right time you will bring them into my life. I don't have to settle. Can I trust him? I don't need no sugar daddy. I don't need no sugar mama. I trust you. I trust you with my singleness. Are we willing, saints of God, to place the trust of our lives into his hand? Because let me remind you, in his hands, miracles can happen. In his hands, the impossible can happen. In his hands, little can become much. In his hands, he can do things that have never been done before. In his hands. Stuff that I thought that will never happen will begin to happen in his hands. Okay, y'all don't believe it. You know the story. I love the story. The two fish and five loaves of bread. They gather all the scraps. They grab all the material. And then Jesus takes it into his hands. And what does he do? He offers it up to his Father. And he said, God, I thank you for what you have done. And from his hands, two fish and five loaves of bread became golden corral, and everybody had what they needed with leftovers. Yes, sir. Could it be, thank you, Holy Spirit, that we struggle with entrusting our lives into the hands of God? Because we have forgotten what his word says, his hands have the power to do. Yes. Could it be that we struggle with putting our lives into the hands of God? Because everybody we trusted have failed us. Pastor, I did it. I trusted mama and daddy, and I put it into their hands, and they broke me. Father, I took it. I put it into the hands of the preacher at church and took advantage of it. Sometimes the lack of trust that we have experienced with others, we allow those moments to cause us to think that we can't trust God. And sometimes it has just been misplaced trust that we have put into people. I know my intent as your pastor is never to disappoint you. My intent as your leader is never to disappoint you. It's to never to mistreat you or to mishandle you. That is not, I'm learning every day how to be a better leader. I'm going back and apologizing because I realized, hey, instead of that being a text message, I should have sat down and talked with you. Instead of that being an email, I should have met with you face to face. I'm learning. It's not my intent. But because I am human, it happens. But with God, I am able to give him every part of my life. And here's the good stuff. Here's the good part right here. I can bring to him, thank you, Lord, the broken pieces of my life. I can trust him with the broken pieces that others may have broken. I can trust him with the pieces that I have broken myself. I can trust him, and I can come to the potter, and the potter can be able to take the broken pieces of my life and take the disastrous and horrific parts of my life and turn it into a beautiful masterpiece. Into your hands, my spirit. Him being your savior is not enough. But he needs to be your Lord as well. And not just Lord over some of your life, part of your life, but Lord over all of your life. Give him access to who you are and to bring it to him and say, Father, here it is. All that I am, all that I'm not, and I give it to you. All that I'm not and all that I am,
yes, Lord,
I give it to you. What powerful words Jesus shares with us. What words of wisdom, what words of transformation that Jesus shares with us while he's dying. So that we could be able to live. I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for those that are struggle with trusting God. Sometimes, including myself, I'm in a war with God over control of my life. Sometimes I think that if I just have my pinky finger in there just a little bit, it will help things go a little bit more smoother. And in those times, in those moments, God has to remind me, use the word to help settle my heart. And say, Swims, that I need your help when I put the sun in the sky. That I need your help when I created the world. If I didn't need your help to create the world to put the sun in the sky, surely I can be able to handle any and everything that's transpiring in your life. And let's be real, trust, it sounds good, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge. The challenge that, Lord, you want me to take my hands off? You want me to give you all of this? Yes. And it's when we give him all of it is where we experience what the Bible says, a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Could it be that the peace that we desire to experience is being forfeited because we won't let go and relinquish control of our lives? When all that went on with the schools in Nashville, I was 2 seconds away from just calling the girls in the school, taking off of work, and staying home with them. Because fear had just overcame my heart. And I said, no, the devil is a lie. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus over them. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to care. And I'm going to put them, dropping them jokers right off at school. With the expectation that we're all going to be reunited at home tonight. I said, God, into your hands, I give you Carrie and Kenny. I can't be everywhere that they are, but you are, God. I want to pray for those that struggle with trusting God. Because if it matters to you, it matters to him. And the peace that you desire, that you pray for, but yet still fight God for control over certain things, can be made available to you if you just trust him. 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 Reminds me of the story of Abraham and Isaac. God gives the command to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. The son, you know the scripture, you learned this in Sunday school growing up. The son that him and his wife had prayed for, that God blessed them with at an old age where it should have been impossible to happen, God made it happen. And yet God challenges Isaac, challenges Abraham. Let me see how much you love me. I want you to relinquish control of the very thing that is dear to your heart. And without hesitation, without a conversation, without an explanation, Abram gets Isaac, gets on the donkey, and they head to the place. And where they go, I love this part, I love this part. He tells his son, we're going up to worship. Because sacrifice is worship. He said, we're going to worship. And Isaac, oblivious to everything, all right, Dad, let's go. Lays him on the altar. Bounds him, Elder Williams, to the altar. Isaac looks up. He says, Daddy, I see the wood, I see all the other stuff. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. Okay, Daddy. And he lays there bound on the altar. And his father says, God will provide. And just as he was getting ready to sacrifice his son, the God comes up to him and says, hey, don't do it. Don't do it, don't do it. I know how much you love me. I know what place I hold in your life now. Because you were willing to give me what was dear to your heart. You were willing to sacrifice your only son. We ought to be Isaac. As Abraham is God. And we just follow without hesitation. We just follow without explanation. And just let go and let God. I want to pray for those this morning that struggle with trusting God. And what you may have to trust God with, what you may be struggling with trusting God with, it may be small, it may be medium, it may be large. Whatever it may be to you, it's a struggle to let go and let God. I want you to meet me at this altar. Whatever it is that you struggle with letting go of and giving to him and putting into his hands, is it your marriage? Hold on one second. Is it your marriage? Is it your kids? Is it your finances? Is it your future? Is it your today? Is it tomorrow? There's more of you that's in here. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. I don't care if you're a leader in the church. I don't care if you got a title. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come, just come. Because anxiety, worry, high blood pressure will not be your portion. If that's you, make your way to this altar.